Sweet Sweet Garbage is a podcast in which two women, Jenna Redding and Bailey von Schneider, take a look back at some of their favorite garbage films and television. Knowing them as we do, we have to ask the question, why do they find themselves enamored with this trash? Not only that, why do we ourselves root for the problematic woman? We love a good crazy stalker, male or female. Why is Bailey okay with the idea of Penn Badgley stalking her? Why does Jenna want to single white female every person she meets? Can they be feminists and still enjoy these indulgences? Let's find out.
All right, guys, welcome back to this week's episode of Sweet, Sweet Garbage. Hope you guys all had a great Thanksgiving. This week, we're going to be talking about the unauthorized Beverly Hills 90210 story. Bailey, do you want to go into a little synopsis of it?
Yes. An international pop cultural phenomenon. Beverly Hills 90210 ruled the 90s television landscape and reigned as the top teen show for nearly a decade, during which Jason Priestley, Luke Perry, Shannon Doherty, Jenny Garth, and Tori Spelling became household names. The unauthorized Beverly Hills 90210 story reveals the roller coaster ride behind the show's first four seasons, highlighting the drama between cast members and producers both on and offset as they journeyed together from near cancellation to unparalleled fame and success.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. Like, that's a pretty good synopsis of what
you
saw.
Yeah, I know. Some of the ones we've read before are so bad that it's always really nice when we get a good one. Just like a straightforward good synopsis.
Absolutely.
So here's the thing. We were just talking about this a couple minutes ago, but like this 90210 biopic is actually one of the better ones we've seen. So we'll get into like the, you know, comings and goings of this movie. But like, I will say that, yeah, I didn't hate this one as much as I disliked the other two.
Yeah, this one is, I think what mainly I like about this one is that they actually don't like show you like the whole 10 years of this show. They show you the first four, which were like the most volatile because Shannon Doherty. But I like that it's like, oh, here is the rise of the show to the height of super success, but you don't like see the failure of the show. Like, and whatever. I mean, after 10 years, you just have pretty much run your course at that point.
That's true.
Yeah, especially if you're a high school drama, like, you can get four or five seasons out of that, let alone like 10. So good on them for that. But I like how it ends with Shannon Doherty leaving, and then it has Tiffany Thiessen come in. And that was the big transition of the actual show, was, you know, you had, you know, good girl Brenda leave. And then, in my opinion, the most badass television bitch of all time, Val Malone, come in. I, like, love, love, love Val. Like, she's my fucking spirit animal. Like, I love this girl. So I was like, yeah, I wanted more of, like, Tiffany Thiessen, though, because, like, just, like, I love Val. But it made sense to sort of follow the first 4 years of this show.
Right. I will say that I do kind of wish it had gone through the whole entire thing, because I would have loved to seen like what they would have done with like, you know, the one season of like Hillary Swank before they fire her. Like, there's just so much like drama around this show. And I can see why they were like, okay, well, let's focus on the most famous part. Let's talk about Shannon. Let's go all the way up until this point. But then, yeah, there is that. And then there was also a part of me that was like, oh, I just want like a straight up Aaron Spelling biopic, because this dude is super fascinating. Yeah. And like the fact that he dominated TV for
so long.
Damn near half of a century, like from the 50s to like 2006. He was like, so like, I don't know, like. Again, like, I do think it was good for them to be very specific and go on one, like, one, I guess, like, period of the show.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, there was just so much more I wanted, you know?
You needed, like, a miniseries to truly, like, get, like, just follow it, like, the first four seasons and then do another movie of, like, the subsequent, what, like, five to six seasons yeah. that they had after that. Like, yeah, you could have split it into, like, a Beverly Hills Unauthorized 90210, like miniseries biopic. Like,
I would be so into it.
Yeah, I would have loved it actually, because like I love the show, like I love 90210, but I as we said, as far as like unauthorized things go, like this felt kind of like more, as much as like they make Shannen Doherty seem like this vile bitch, which like I don't think she actually is.
Right.
Like, especially because I know the, you know, they make it seem like Luke Perry and her, like, were just like, oh, we just have sex and then we hate each other, which is, like, fine if that's, like, what, when you're in your, like, late teens to early 20s, you're, like, gonna probably be like that. But it just made it seem like they hated each other. And in reality, around the time he died, like, she was, like, fucking devastated. They were supposedly, like, really close. She plays a character in Riverdale that is surrounded by like Luke Perry's death, like, so they bring her into like Riverdale, and I'm just like, there's no way that at least that relationship between like Luke Perry and Shannen Doherty could have been as volatile as they were showing. I don't know, maybe as they grew into adults they respected each other more. I don't know, it just seemed like,
no, it did. Okay. It seemed very, yeah, it seemed very just one-sided. Yeah, yeah, it was like this like whole sex thing, but then I mean you kind of get like, oh, is it supposed to be they're just like super passionate, but like that's not really how it came across, you know what?
And
I mean
made Luke Perry seemed like a fucking dick.
Yeah, like they did. It's really like funny watching this dick. Now after, like, seeing how many people, you know, seemed to really, like, after Luke Perry died, everybody had only nice things to say about him.
Yeah.
There was nobody that, you know, said anything that, like, made him seem shitty. So it's just funny.
Yeah, it made it seem that for somebody, like, if Leonardo DiCaprio walked into an audition like that and was just kind of like, I'm Leo, I'm the shit, I'm just, like, I'm kind of done with acting, because, like, what has acting done for me, because I've already achieved everything? Like, Luke Perry is, like, he literally lays concrete because he can't get work, and he, like, walks in being like, I'm done with this industry, like, walks into, like, fucking Aaron Spelling's house, like, smokes a cigarette and is like, yeah, I'm too good for your fucking show. And the network is like, yeah, this guy's an asshole. And somehow, like, Aaron Spelling is like, we need him. I mean, he, like, wasn't wrong. Like, but I don't think that that's how any of that went down. I think it was just, like, the network is like, we're not sure because he's literally a no-name. And Aaron Spelling is like, no, we're going with him. I will pay him. Like, that aspect is real. But I don't think it's because he's this, like, too good for you, like, stupid teen network show, even though he can't book anything.
Like, right. Or, yeah, I thought that part was really funny, because, yeah, they're trying to make him seem like, I mean,
He is Dylan. They try to make it seem like he's Dylan.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
And I'm like, I don't think he's Dylan. I think he can actually act. Like, I don't think he's Dylan.
Yeah. But I will say, like, all of the Shannen stuff, like, here's the problem with, I guess, like, something that, like, is so, has such notoriety and, like, so much, like, people have talked about this for almost 30 years at this point. And, like, in my opinion, for me, I'm just like, how do we know that she's actually this, like, super bitch? Like, kind of like what you were saying.
Yeah.
She's probably, like, she probably is difficult. Like, I'm not saying she's not.
Yeah.
But, like, when a dude is difficult, like, they're always, like, fucking lauded for being, you know, he's got an artistic temperament. Oh, he just needs things to be perfect. But, like, when a girl does it, when a girl is just like, hey, like, this is, like, a stupid thing in the script, or, hey, like, this doesn't make sense to my character, she is, you know, painted as this, like, you know, fucking, oh, she's so difficult. She's this, she's that. It's
what
so frustrating.
I did like about, like, yeah, true. Like, that's just never going to change. A woman's sure. always going to be considered a bitch or difficult when she acts like that. But what I did actually like about this was Darren Star, who's the creator of the show. Like, he's super heavily featured in this movie, which is crazy. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I think it proves that, like, there would, you know, I mean, granted, there are there is no 90210 without Darren Star because he's like the creator, but I just didn't realize that he had such a hands-on, because it looked like he directed like 90% of the show and had like just a really hands-on thing, which is great. And then in television that happens, but then this is the 90s, and like Aaron Spelling kind of just gave this young guy like free reign to like just do a show, which I kind of liked. Right. But I liked that he was like, the writers love her because she's the most talented. Like, yeah. She shows up late, but like, she's better than everybody else while like going out and getting in a bar fight the night before. So Darren Star is like, we can't get rid of our best asset. So I kind of like, he was like, let her do whatever the fuck she wants. Like,
yeah, as long as she doesn't kill anyone. Yeah, no, it's true.
Whereas like they usually allow men to do that. So I kind of like, this is the refreshing aspect of like, yeah, like, okay, like she's great.
Oh, one of the things about this that killed me was like the whole thing. So Brian Austin Green, his whole thing, you know, I guess he went through a period of time where he was like a rapper in the 90s.
Yeah, I remember that. And they kind of weave that in where he like becomes like he like runs the nightclub above the Peach Pit, like the Peach Pit after dark. So he like kind of, they like weave in his like musical taste into the show. But yeah, there's a time where he thought he was like Vanilla Ice.
It's crazy to me. Because yeah, I didn't like, when 90210 was going on, like when we were little, I didn't watch, like, I wasn't a big 90210 fan. Like, I was more,
we
like,
were too young at that time.
Like, I think so. Yeah. But, it's just funny because, like, all I really knew about the show, up until very recently, because I started watching it recently, where I was like, mm-hmm. Oh, you know what? It's such a, like, pop culture thing. Like, mm-hmm. You should know these things. And then, so, like, it's was interesting, like, I guess, hold on, I'm, like, blanking here. But I guess, like, mm-hmm. seeing, like, the actors and, like, the actual characters and, like, how I thought they were different. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like, how they didn't match up to what I thought I knew about these characters. You know?
Mm.
Like, I guess because, like, Tori Spelling, she was supposed to be, like, one of the goody-goodies, right? Like, she was, mm-hmm. like, super mm-hmm. virginal and all that.
Oh, she does, like, literally never sleeps with David until they're married. And, like, he cheats on her because of it. Like, kind of a dick move. But, yeah, they always made Donna, like, the super virgin, which I was like, okay.
I wonder if that has something to do with Aaron Spelling. Like,
it could have been. He could have been like, she can't lose her virginity on this show. Like,
right.
He's like, no, I can't do it.
But yeah, no, like, I didn't know anything about these characters. So when I started watching it, and then now watching this, I was like, oh, wow. Like, I guess, like, it just seemed different, like, growing up. There was mm-hmm. something about it that, like, I guess I thought all of them were, like, super slutty. And, like, that was the whole thing. Like, I remember thinking, like, that was...
Yeah, no, they actually have substance. Like, the characters do. Like, you gotta give Darren Star, like, credit. He actually... And they're all different. Like, Kelly is kind of the slutty girl. Like, slutty rich girl. And you're like, oh, awesome. I wish I could have been the slutty rich girl.
Right? Oh, my God.
Fantasies. Been like all the hot guys, yeah, thanks. But and then, but so it's like everybody felt real. Like, you have the outsider Brenda who comes in. And it's just, like, completely, like, a fish out of water. Like, Brandon, it's, like, seamless. And it's, like, it shows you the dynamic of, like, a young man going into a high school versus, like, a young girl. And, like, those worlds are totally different. Like, Brandon finds right. his niche, like, instantly. Whereas, like, Brenda has to, you know, really find her way. And I think that's real. And Donna's real. And they're all very real characters.
Right.
It gets a little wonky as it goes on, but like...
Sure, sure. But that's the thing. When anything goes up to like 9 seasons, you have... Yeah. I mean, come on.
Yeah, it gets ridiculous. But yeah, the first... At least the seasons with Brenda, like, feel... Like, the first 4 seasons feel, like, really strong. Mm-hmm. And, like, tackle actual issues. And, like, they bring that up in this movie well, where it's, like, there's the episode where Brenda loses her virginity. And the network is like, yeah, we can't do that. Girls can't enjoy sex. Like, you know, she has to. They have to rewrite everything about how she's regretting sleeping with him. And then, like, they have that scene where it's, like, none of this makes sense. Why are we doing this? And it's, like, because the network sucks.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah, you do get a – you've – This movie does give, like, a good glimpse into what it must be like into network TV, because mm-hmm. you do end up having to make these compromises and, like, things that you wouldn't have thought you would ever have to compromise on.
Yeah.
Because, I'm sure none of them ever thought they would have to make her regret it. But then they're like, well, fuck, now what do we do? And so, like, that kind of thing is very interesting.
I would have been like, why'd you let me get this far with this? Like, if you knew, like, it's not like the network doesn't know that, like, Brenda's going to sleep with Dylan.
Right.
And, like, then go tell Kelly how exciting it was and how great it was and how it's everything she wanted, which is great. I love that they showed a young girl losing her virginity and not regretting
it. And not hating it. Like, actually being like,
this is how I wanted it to be. And it went that way. Thank you to this young boy who, like,
it was perfect. Actually
listened to me.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, oh, shit, that's great. And then the network's like, no, we have to make her be, like, super, why did I sleep with him? Which makes no sense when you have that moment of, like, oh my God, I'm so glad I lost my virginity to Dylan. And then it's like, oh, by the way, I shouldn't have slept with him. Like, what the fuck?
Well, like
he looks like Luke Perry. What do you expect? Sort of like play tiddlywinks?
To have a perfect virginity losing moment with someone who looks like Luke Perry, like, oh my God, yeah. I'd be like,
Brenda, like, again, living my fantasy.
Yeah,
like,
dancing in the streets. I'd be, oh, it'd be great.
I like low-key love Brenda and I love Brenda and Dylan together. They were like my favorite. Like when they put Dylan with Kelly, I'm like, what the fuck is this? Like, cause they had a like, and I was like, ugh. I was like, no, I never liked Kelly. Like, everybody hated Brenda. Like, there was that whole movement, like, they show, where it's, like, there were, like, before there was the internet, people, like, made newspapers about how much they hated Brenda Walsh. And that's incredible. Like, that's some, like, that takes...
That's great.
Making a webpage or tweeting about how much you start a Twitter, I hate Brenda Walsh, that's friggin' easy to do. Actually, like, putting out a newsletter... That is dedication.
Not only that, but if you're actually taking out ads in the newspaper to do it, that means you're actually, like, spending money, like, taking the time to, like, make this thing. That's, like, yeah, that is dedication.
The hate must have been really real. Like, shit, the 90s, they just hated women.
Seriously, or it's just complicated women. They don't, I think we've... talked about that so many times in different movies that we've done on this. It's like, if a woman is complicated, it's all of a sudden like, oh, wait. See, if she was a man, complicated man is great. Complicated woman, I don't know what to do with.
They're just like, so we have to hate her, right? Like, because she speaks her mind. And that kind of seemed what, like, Shannon Doherty was in real life, was like somebody who spoke her mind and said, I hate Brenda too. But I think it's because it was like, I think she hated Brenda because, like, I don't know. It's like, because I never felt like Brenda was like an outspoken, difficult character. I think it was just because, like, I think it was... Like, I don't know. I don't really understand, like, why there was so much hate for that character. Whereas, like, you can watch something else and be like, oh, I get why people, like, maybe don't like this character. But, like, Brenda, I, like, never really understood it. I don't know if it was because of the whole, like, everybody loved Dylan so much that they were like, oh, if Dylan is, like, if Brenda's mean to Dylan, then, oh, my God, we gotta fucking hate her. Like, I don't know. I really don't know what it was. I feel like I just have to go back and watch it all. Like, I've seen, like, a good chunk of it, but I haven't seen from, like, the first episode to, like, the last episode.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like it's because I never, like, got super, super into it. I think I stopped after a while. But, like, there is a part of me that wants to go from, like, the first episode to the last episode. Just, like, go through the whole thing. I mean, in quarantine, I've been, like, picking shows that are all, like, 9 seasons or more just because, like, I'm not doing anything else, you know.
But low-key, this show did have, like, fucking 28 to 30 episode seasons. That's nonsense.
Well, that's the thing. That's the thing with all Netflix stuff is I started watching House recently. And
oh God, there's
so many. It's, like, 22 22 episodes for 8 seasons. And even then, I'm just like, I feel like I've been watching the first season for, like, 3 years now. Like, what's going on?
Yeah, most shows do have that expiration date. And this 90210 was definitely one.
This definitely, there is a certain point in the show where it, like, turned into, like, sour milk. You're like, oh, we can start wrapping this up. We can start, like, saying our goodbyes.
Yeah, like you say, weird things of, like, bringing in, like, Hilary Swank as, like, a teen mom that's supposed to, like, teach Steve how to grow up. And then they're like, yeah, let's just fire her. And she, like, goes and wins it
all. Well, I remember reading this interview with her. And she said that when she got fired, she, like, cried for, like, 3 weeks where she was just like, oh, my God, I need to quit. I'm not even good enough to be on 90210. But then literally, like, because that freed her up, then she was able to do, she wouldn't have been able to do Boys Don't Cry if she'd still been on 90210.
Also, if that movie was made now, that she would absolutely not have been able to play that role anyway.
Well, that's true. And I think that's actually,
being
that's
a valid. Straight white cis woman.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's valid, but at the same time, it's, like, it's so interesting that, like, you get, like, I saw something, like, a headline that, like, Kristen Stewart, who's, like, come out as queer, and she says, like, they asked her, how do you feel about, like, non-queer actors playing queer characters? She's like, it is acting at the end of the day. And she's like, it'd be like me not being able to play a straight woman again. Like, you know, so there is that sort of, like, but I think and it's interesting that it's different when it's, like, a sexuality versus, like, a gender journey where they're like, no. Like, you cannot play, like, a pre-transition character. And I'm always like, oh, it's, like, I'm always like, and being, like, a cis straight white woman, like, I can't say anything on the subject. And I'm also not an actor either, so I'm just always like, and I think that, like, Kristen Stewart at least said it in, like, a right way versus, like, having Scarlett Johansson say it in the wrong
way.
Oh,
my God.
Is, like, yeah, Scarlett Johansson should, like, take a book from, like, how Kristen Stewart, like, presented that argument.
Right. But here, the thing, too, though, with Scarlett Johansson is that not only did she want to play a trans man, she's already whitewashed an Asian part. So this woman is just tornadoing through.
Like, so there's certain issues where I'm like, oh, no. And then, you know, you get the old white people that are like, well, James Bond's always been white. And I'm like, yes, because, like, you weren't allowed then to create a non-white character because everybody was just fucking racist and everybody was just white then. So, of course, James Bond was white when he was created in, what, like, the 40s? Yeah. Like, of course. But it's like, we're allowed to have a non-white James Bond, and come on, it should be Riz Ahmed.
Oh my God, like, Riz Ahmed. That's good casting.
Riz Ahmed for James Bond. I've been saying it for years.
Oh man, he's so hot. Oh, oh my God.
Oh my God, yeah. Like, that man is a beautiful man, and I would be his pussy galore any day. But anyways.
The thing with these, like, biopics that we've been watching, would you say, because, like, I wouldn't say there's any part of this where I thought there was, like, a batshit moment. You know what I mean? Like, did you think there was one?
I'd say the baddiest shit moment was maybe when, like, out of the blue, because, like, everybody's pissed that Shannon is, like, late all the time, and then Shannon is pissed that they're pissed. So, like, it's her and Jenny Garth doing a scene, and she starts, like, pulling on her skirt and, like, snapping it, because she has, like, this tight little mini skirt on. And then, like, Jenny Garth is like, girl, what? And she's like, what? I didn't do anything. And then she does it again, and it's, like, super blatant. And then they're like, you know what? Parking lot. Get in the parking lot. We're going to beat the shit out of each other. And I'm like,
that's
what
true.
Is
I can
happening?
Always get down with, like, a potential cat fight. It's funny, them being, like, the two whitest girls you'll ever see, like, trying to act, like, all tough.
Yeah, it's like, come on, bitch. Like, me, outside, like, Jenny was like, I'm done. We're beating the shit out of each other. And then, like, Shannon Doherty's like, I'm game. Like, I get in bar fights, bitch.
Yeah, like, taking off the metaphorical earrings and, like, ready to, like, beat down.
And then they're, like, just, like, bitch slapping each other. But then at one point, like, I don't know, a car came out of nowhere. And, like, Shannon was about to, like, just pick up Jenny and smash her on the car. Yeah. But, like, they get her. Like, but I was like, whoa, this escalated, like, crazy.
I know, it's like, where did this come from? This is crazy. Yeah, all of a sudden she hulks and is, like, ready to, like, throw her out of the parking lot.
So that's maybe the baddiest show. So it's like everything that, like, Shannon pretty much does, which, like, I want to know if, like, has Jenny Garth ever had, like, a sit down where she's, like, come out and said, oh yeah, we fucking hated each other? Like, I don't know, because I thought for the most part, I at least know that, like, Tori Spelling and Jenny Garth have been really good friends, like, for years after this. But, like, right. I don't know about Shannon. Like, she hasn't been chummy enough with them, but, like, I think she's, like, they coexisted maybe a little better than what this predicted they did. Like, I don't know. Do you have a moment where you were like,
I wouldn't say it's a batshit moment, but this, I would label this more as, like, a eye roll moment where, like, there was that super blatant Sharknado reference.
Oh, yes. There were a couple of, like, those little references, like, weaved within this.
So, yeah. So the guy who eventually ended up being in the Sharknado movies, like, there's one part where he's, like, talking to Shannon and he's just like, yo, you're crazy. You're like a shark. No, you're like a tornado. You're like a shark and a tornado combined. And I literally laughed out loud because, like, I couldn't believe it. I was like, no.
They did that.
But, like, luckily, Shannon, like, does save the moment where, like, she looks at him and she's like, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
There were a couple of moments. There was another moment that was, like, I wish I could, like, remember it. I wish I, like, jotted it down that it was, like, one of those meta moments where you're like, oh, ha, 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 ha.
Right. I get it. I see what you did there.
Oh, one of my favorite, like, kind of meta moments was, like, there was always that, like, rumor that Jason Priestley and Brad Pitt were roommates at one point. I still honestly have no idea if that's, like, a truth. But I love how it's just, like, I got a script delivery. And he's like, oh, yeah, it's just for me. It's for Jason Priestley. And they're like, oh, no, it's not. It's for a Brad Pitt. And they're like, oh, yeah, Brad. And they're like, and then he opens his mail. First of all, federal offense. And then he's like, Thelma and Louise, like, what is this? And I'm like, that's going to make your roommate fucking an A-lister. That's what that's going
to
do.
Sorry. He's about to, like, wave at you from the rearview mirror. Like, bye. Yeah.
He's going to be like, I don't need this shit and your weird roommate that doesn't pick up. I'm about to be Brad Pitt.
Yeah. Sorry. Like, bye.
Yeah. So I liked that moment that it was like, oh, it's the Thelma and Louise script. I mean, it made sense. It was like Thelma and Louise came out around the time that, like, 90210. I think Thelma and Louise may have been a year after 90210.
Yeah, like, so 91.
There may have been that, like, yeah, there may have been that moment where, like, Jason Priestley was slightly more famous than Brad
Pitt. Yeah, I think that's kind of what they were doing. Yeah, because... So this show came out in 91, right? And then I think
90. Or 90. The first season was 90. Yeah. So it's like 30 years ago at this point. Yeah. It's crazy.
Wow. God, that's insane.
Right? Think about that. Like, that's so weird. Oh my God. Like, this, yeah. Well, I mean, this is why, like, that's even like, that's why we're too young for it. But then even like my cousin, who's like 37, so she's like late 30s, and it's like she grew up with that show, but she still must have had to have come into that show, like, I don't think she was watching it when she was 7. Like, I could be wrong,
right?
But,
right. Or like it was, like, probably she probably was catching like the last bits of the show and then maybe went back. I mean, yeah
it wasn't like it was like, I think it'd have to be somebody in their like early 40s. So if you're like a 12 or 13 year old like girl or boy around that, you were probably like actually like enjoying the like phenomenon of this show, like how I was very much alive around the time of Degrassi. Like I watched like JT die live and knew they were gonna kill my fucking favorite character, because that's just how that shit happens, because it's me. I was like, they're like, because they like, I remember the promos were like, and a Degrassi-like person will not make it out alive. And I'm like, it's JT. And I remember my dad was like, why do you think it's JT? I'm like, because I fucking love JT. That's why it's going to be JT. Because
they have a fucking vendetta against Bailey Von Schleicher. They literally and they do.
Like, so yeah, like, you know, growing up with like watching it live must have been like kind of wild, you know? I always like, I love to like experience TV show, like season 4 of Dexter, getting to experience that, like, that was also before like Twitter was like a huge thing too, like, and you're not gonna like get on Twitter and like have it be spoiled, like, you know, you get to like experience season 4 and like have all those like oh shit moments, because there's multiple in season 4 of Dexter, you know.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Yeah, I think what was your thoughts about some of the cast choices for this, like,
the thing is, like, since I wasn't a huge 90210 fan, like, I don't think there wasn't any casting that bothered me, because mm-hmm. like I feel like I don't know them enough, except for like maybe Tori Spelling you know, where I've, like, actually followed a lot of them.
Yeah. Like, you know what Tori's, I mean? Yeah, like, they made Tori kind of ditzy.
Like, they made her seem really dumb.
Yeah. And I'm like, but, like, okay, so one of my favorite parts about this movie was when she's, like, auditioning, and she's like, hi, I'm Tori Mitchell, and, you know, my agent submitted me, and I'm, like, so excited for this movie, and the casting director just writes spelling and, like, says the other, and they're like, oh, fuck this bitch, and then, like, she acts, but also she says, like, three lines, like, nothing to show I could have done that. Like, I could, she, like, auditioned for the Jenny Garth role, and they already knew they wanted to give it to Jenny Garth, but anyways, they're like, we'll see other people, and so, like, she leaves, and both of them are, like, floored with how good she is. Like, she literally says, like, oh, I think the line was, like, oh, like, you have to, you, like, Brenda, you just moved here from, like, Minnesota. Like, you have to come out with us tonight. Like, you have to. Like, you need to. You need to, like, go out and party with us. Like, it's, like, a true 90210 girl. And I think that's, like, kind of what the line is. And they're, like, wait, she can act? And they have this, like, conversation. They're like, well, we already, the network wants Jenny, but, like, I think we have our Donna. They haven't seen anybody else. She has, like, one throwaway line, and they're like, Donna. We gotta cast her as Donna. She's just too good. We can't let her, like, leave. And I'm like, what?
Honestly, like, I think it would have been more realistic, because, like, they already do the thing where, like, they knew it was Tori Spelling.
Yeah.
Like, I get that they probably don't want to just be like, oh, we have to cast her because, you know, she's Spelling. But, like, that's kind of how it came across. Like, that's what it seemed like was going on. And, like, it just doesn't.
The thing is, like, of course, if that's happened, like, yeah, you're always upset that, like, a person struggling, like, didn't get the role because they just gave it to, you know, Tori Spelling. But at the same time, like, she's fine as Donna. It's not like they cast her and she's, like, fucking Sofia Coppola.
Yeah, no, it wasn't a Sofia Coppola situation at all. Like, she was perfectly fine.
Completely fine as Donna. Like, totally fine as Donna.
Like, definitely, like, a solid B+, because, like, you know, Donna, just Donna the character is kind of a snooze. Like,
yeah.
Nobody was going to be winning any awards for being Donna.
Yeah, no. Yeah, so, like, yeah, could Donna have gone to, like, a struggling actor? Sure. But, like, no.
Whatever. It's fine.
But the girl that they cast as Jenny Garth fucking looks exactly like Jenny Garth.
Well, that's what I was, because I did, like, look at their pictures, and, like, she was the one who I thought looked, like, the most like the person she was cast as.
Spot on.
Yeah.
Spot on. Like, yeah. I was just like, okay. And, like, Samantha Monroe, who, Degrassi alum, so, like, she played Anya McPherson, and I, like, never liked Anya, like, at all, but, like, Anya was, like, very diminutive and was, like, started out as being, like, the lackey for the biggest bitch in school and, like, would just be, like, shit on constantly. So, like, to see her then become the bitch is kind of interesting because, like, the whole time I'm, like, on the show, like, Anya was just kind of there. Her biggest storyline was, like, she was, like, her mom got cancer, and then she lies to the cancer doctor and tells him she's, like, 20-something and, like, starts dating her cancer doctor. Her mom's, like, cancer doctor.
Oh, my God.
So, like, outside of that, like, nothing shocking happened with, like, that character. So to see her kind of embody, like, the bitch was kind of cool. I was, like, and I thought she handled, like, the bitchy aspect. But my question is, was Shannon Doherty this bad? Like, mm-hmm. this much of a, like, showing up. And my question is, like, how late is she showing up? Because clearly she's holding up production because she's number one on the call sheet. But, like, at the same time, and had to remind people that she was, I'm number one on the call sheet. Don't you forget, I'm number one. And I'm like, was she literally walking around being this much of a bitch?
Right.
And the writers were just like, nah, but she's so fucking good. She hits her mark. She knows her shit. Like, I love when it was, like, we had to, like, rework this scene for you. And she's like, yeah, we got it, like, what, 90 minutes ago, and I already know it, like, better than you. And then Darren Starr's like, yeah, she does, and I wrote it. Like, she knows it better than me. Like, so, like, she's good at her job, which I guess proves that, like, if you're really good at something, no matter how difficult you are, you're gonna keep it for the most part. Like, she kept it for, like, 4 seasons.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, no, it's
and
true.
And who knows what her real firing, like, was it really firing? Was it mutually? Like, the thing proves to me is that she worked again with Aaron Spelling.
Like, right, she did charm.
Bad, would he have been like, oh, please, Shannon, come on to my new show.
But then also then the same thing happened on the show where she left like
her and three Alyssa seasons. Milano like fucking hate that one. That one has been documented that they like fucking hated each other.
Yeah, no, that's crazy. I don't know what it is about Alyssa Milano that she like doesn't get along with people. Like the same thing with like Rose McGowan.
Yeah, I think it was like, yeah, I think Rose McGowan was like not on the show when Shannon Doherty was on the show.
Right, right. She was a replacement.
Like, yeah, so like you replaced the replacement and the replacement still hates Alyssa Milano.
So like I'm not trying to point any fingers. But
yeah. it may not be Shannon Doherty. And like I said, the whole like relationship show that she had with Luke Perry in real life like does not seem to, you know, mirror like what they depict on this, in this movie, you know?
Right. Or at least even if it had been, like, super volatile in the beginning, there was definitely something that, like, kind of did bring them back together. Like, or maybe not together, but, like, you know.
And it could have been, she is a breast cancer survivor, and it could have been, like, she was sick and he reached out and they sort of, like, had this reconciliation later on in life. Like, I don't know. That's just completely speculation. But, like, who knows?
Yeah. So where would you put this on the garbage meter?
Much as they're, like, trying to show you all the volatile aspects of, like, what it was, like, making this. Like, the show's not – I mean, the movie's not, like, super over the top. So it's not like you could be like, oh, this was so fun to watch because it was so bad. Like, it's really not bad. Like, the acting, for the most part, is fine to decent to good. Like, there's – like, sometimes you just, like – somebody comes on and you just are like, oh, God, this is bad acting or something like that. Like, I never once had that moment at all in this movie. So I don't know, maybe like solidly garbage because it's not great, but it's not so bad that it makes it even more fun. But like you said, I never felt bored at all with it.
Right. Well, that's the thing is that like, I would say it's like very solidly garbage. And yeah, because like the last two ones that we watched Liz and Dick and we watched The Britney Ever After. And both of those movies, I mean, I would say that all of these are about the same amount of time. And like watching those last two, I thought I was like watching something for 4 hours.
Yeah, this one goes by a lot quicker.
Like the pacing is good. Like you get like a good amount of like the info out. Like there was never a time where I looked at the clock and I was like, oh my God, there's still like 45 minutes. What the hell?
Yeah, because it like shows the casting process of everything like really well and does it quickly enough. Like, you know, but it's interesting, like, the characters, clearly, like, you're going to want to focus more on, like, a Luke Perry and a Jason Priestley because, like, Brandon and Dylan were, like, the big heartthrobs of the show is, sexy as Brian Austin Green ended up becoming. Like, he wasn't like that on, like, the first season. So, like, Brian Austin Green kind of just, like, pops up and it's like, yeah, I've been acting and I got cast as David on this show. Cool. Whereas, like, we see, like, the construction worker, Dylan McKay. Yeah. And the guy that they got to play, like, Luke Perry is, like, super sexy. But
he's
still, like,
very hot.
He was, like, hot, but he was, like, a different hot than Luke Perry hot, which is, like, interesting.
Well, it's true. I really feel like Luke Perry, it's hard. I think it would be hard to cast him. Like, it's not that this guy did a bad job, and, like, he is a very good-looking guy. But there was something so interesting about Luke Perry, because even though he was so gorgeous, like, there was something so, like, soft-spoken about him and, like, kind of shy. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, there was something very interesting about him because he wasn't just, like, this, you know, I don't know. I don't know how to explain it. Like,
he's like an enigma.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. But they also focused on Gabrielle Carteris a lot, too. And I think a lot of that had to do with the fact that she was literally, like, 29.
Yeah.
And they were like, she got cast.
She lied about her age. I mean, come on. She is actually, like, around the same age as, like, most teens.
Nowadays,
in
like,
CW.
That's nothing. Yeah, of course. Then they were actually casting in and around, like, outside of her, like, Ian Ziering was, like, what, like, 26.
I think so.
And then I think Luke Perry's like 24, but the other ones were like 17 to like 21. So they were younger, you know, skewed. So like throwing in a 29-year-old, you're like, oh, but like she didn't look out of place.
Well, that's the thing.
Like, sometimes you're, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
You know, you could have looked out of place. But yeah, I like that they, like, focused on her a little bit. Because I love when, like, Gabrielle Carteris, like, goes and she's like, yeah, I want a waitress here. And she's like, yeah, I just shot a pilot. And they were like, well, like, girl, why are you, like, looking to be a server if you just shot a pilot? And she's like, because I just saw it. And I'm like, oh, how bad was it? And, like, how did they, because they don't really talk about reshooting the pilot.
Well, also, too, like, one of the things that ended up happening in real life was that, like, the first season was kind of a dud. Like, it didn't do that well. But Aaron Spelling had, like, the idea to do, like, a summer season. Mm-hmm. Like, when everybody else was doing reruns, they did a season during the summer of 90210. So then that's what happened. Yeah. And that's kind of what, like, changed the course of it, because everybody kind of just, like, ate it up. So, yeah, I'd be interested to now rewatch, like, the first season, knowing how poorly it was received. I mean, obviously, too, like, the pilot must be dog shit if...
Yeah, it's interesting because, like, you know, there's, like, certain... Like, I like when shows can get beyond that first few episodes because, like, the first 8 episodes of Parks and Rec, like, I don't hate them, in all honesty. Like, I don't hate the first season of Parks and Rec, but, like, people hate the first season of Parks and Rec. And I'm like, the first 8 episodes, like... kept me on enough to, like, want to watch beyond that. But, like, yeah, for the most part, people will be like, and the ratings weren't that good. I don't know. Michael Schur just must have just gotten so lucky that NBC was just like, yeah, whatever. We'll give you another season. And he created, like, arguably one of the greatest comedies of all time.
Well, I will say, like, I think what happened with Parks and Rec was, like, the first season, again, like, I don't hate it. I mean, I think Parks and Rec is fine. Like, whatever. But I will say the first season seems the most like The Office in its own way. Like, it seemed like it was kind of aping The Office. And you're just like, so then when it, like, then it did the shift and actually turned into its own thing, then it be, yeah, it did become like this really great thing. But yeah, for sure. Yeah. All right. Well, that's this week's episode of Sweet, Sweet Garbage. Yeah, we got one more week of biopics, and then we get back into our sexy, sexy Lifetime thrillers, which I'm excited for very much.
I kind of like the biopics. Like,
well, no, I thought it was. Yeah, I did. I will say, like, it was like a good change of pace because, like, it's interesting to see, like, another side of Lifetime. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. seeing like a different division of it, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very true.
So, yeah. All right, guys. Thanks again for listening. Just, you know, drop us a review or rate us. Reach out to us on Instagram or Twitter. We've been getting some good feedback from you guys, so we really appreciate it.
Yes. Thank you so much.
All right. Bye.
Bye. Sweet, sweet girl.